Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So, to kick this one off, I thought I'd start with some questions. And I have some good ones here. We have one from Ross. This was back from January 9th. That's how behind on the questions I got. But Ross knows I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I think he's the worst president the world has ever, I mean, the United States has ever had. I just think he's dumb as a rock. And I think he caused a lot of problems for us. Not that I'm anti-Republican, even though the more I grow old, the more I don't like the GOP. But I think Republicans have changed because of him, and we'll see what happens going forward. But I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, whatever he is. But he asked me which three dumbass villains join Trump once he leaves office to form the Illuminati, and not is spelled NOT capitalized. I, so Illuminati. So I'm more of a DC guy, so I'm gonna pick a couple of lame ass villains, one of them which I've liked because of what Tom King did to him, but he's still a lame ass dude. And he's done really well in the Harlequin animated series, but he's still a lame ass villain. So I would give Kite Man he is part of Donald Trump's Illuminati. Even though at the heart of Kite Man, he would never hang out with Donald Trump, but he is pretty a lame ass villain. But he's highly entertaining. Tom King injected a life into Kite Man that he never had before, and that led. His take on Kite Man led to Lego, the Batman Lego movie, and it also led to the rated R version of the Harlequin series that was on the DC app, and now it's on HBO Max. I think it's going to enter its third season. But yeah, we'll go with him. We'll go with Crazy Quilt. He is a lame ass villain that always gets defeated by Robin, and it's very frustrating for him, but he doesn't have a good record of being a good villain. And last but not least, I'll go with Polka Dot Man. He's kind of ridiculous, and he's gonna make an appearance in the Suicide Squad movie that's coming up. I really wish they would have titled it like Suicide Squad colon something. Just one word something like boom, or I don't know, just give it some kind of name. But it's hard to differentiate because you're going to have the Suicide Squad, which was the first movie, which is one of my favorite DC movies of all time. I love that movie. And I don't know if it's because I love the Suicide Squad so much, but I just even love the plot, you know, that they did with the Enchantress and how it kind of led back to itself, and they had to team up to take out one of their own. I just love it. But I love the way Deadshot was portrayed, the daughter and Floyd. I love Margaret Robbie as Harlequin. I thought she was fantastic in that movie. The guy who played Boomerang, I thought he did a great job. He was in Die Harder or something like that as the son of Bruce Willis. I thought he did a great job as Boomerang because even though he didn't like have a lot, they put him on the sideline like as a guy who would betray anybody on his team, and he even got one of the guys killed, the guy that played the Hangman. So yeah, Polka Dot Man's gonna appear in The Suicide Squad, which is a James Gunn run on that, and we'll see how it goes. But those are the three that would be in Donald Trump's Illuminati. That's who I'd pick. So Jason Kim from Hawaii, he says, "What are you looking forward to? Comics, movies, and TV in 2021?" My most anticipated movie is The Suicide Squad because I love that team. Like I adore that team, and I think that's a movie that I'm looking forward to the most. Although every movie that comes out, me and my wife have a Saturday night movie night, and I enjoy the hell out of it. It's made up for, we used to go to the matinee every Saturday, but now we have Saturday night movie night. And Friday night's usually Disney Plus, Mandalorian or WandaVision. And but I'm looking forward to all the premieres that Disney Plus and is doing. One of the other shows that I've really latched on to, and it's probably my second favorite show of all time, and I've watched some great shows. The Musketeers from BBC, I absolutely love that. Some of the Marvel series on Netflix, they were just fantastic. Spartacus, I can name a lot. Evil recently. But I would have to rate the Money Heist as my second favorite show of all time, right next to Friday Night Lights. I watched season one and season two, and I can't tell you the characterizations of these characters. It is amazing. They are bank robbers that do a money heist in one of the banks in Spain. And one of the guy who leads them is the professor, and he spent years coming up with a plan. So he's got all these contingencies and stuff. And he named everybody after a place. Like he's the professor. But there's Tokyo, there's Rio, there's Berlin, there's Helsinki, there's Oslo, there's Denver, Nairobi. You will grow to love these characters, and they all have distinct personalities. And they're coming out with season four. So that's my highly anticipated look forward to. Another show that I've really latched on to. We always watch Bull, and that's like the sort of the same plot every episode. You know, you get a court case, they win like 99% of their cases, but it's still entertaining as hell. And I like The Good Doctor a lot, but the new one that I've really latched on to is Clarice. We're only two episodes in, but I'm finding to like that show quite a bit, so I'm looking forward to that. But the Money Heist is phenomenal. Just to tell you how popular it was, it became number one, Netflix's number one international show. They even did a documentary on it already. So it was released in Spain, and the first season was a hit. But then the second season came, and the ratings just dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. So they thought they were done. And then along comes Netflix. And Netflix buys the show, and they release it in North Africa, Lebanon, everywhere. France, it became the number one show in France. Almost every place you can think of. Iraq, they everywhere they released it. And it became such an international hit, and it became like one of the top-rated shows that Netflix had next to Stranger Things on IMDb. It became so popular. I found out about it on Nerdy Legion, and Even the actor said they can't believe what happened. It just blew up. Like, people recognized him on the street. They start following him. They started to film season 3, and the popularity of the show became like an international. They became international icons. And Moscow was the other guy I missed. He was the father to Denver. But oh my God, it is such an action-packed romance series. It has everything, and it's just phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to. I'm on season 3. I've been watching one episode a night, and I think by probably midweek next week. No, probably by Friday of next week. If I keep doing the pace that I'm going on with half hour and then the show kind of bleeds over into the next day, I will probably finish up by Friday and then I'm ready for season 4. And I haven't switched any shows since that show has been my elliptical show. So and I'm also looking forward to King Kong versus Godzilla. I've always liked them. I side towards King Kong because King Kong has this like human heart. Like, we're close to apes as it is, and he's just like emotionally a care like a an animal that I can care about. Whereas Godzilla is a lizard that just destroys things, and he sometimes sides with the good guys. But it seems like a coincidental thing. He doesn't seem to have, I don't know. But you know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for King Kong, so I'm looking forward to that. I can't remember what else is coming out. The movies, Black Widow would be a good one to look forward to, but I don't know when that's going to be released. The new Spider-Man movie is supposed to be really good, but I don't know when that's going to be released. So we'll see. But the ones that I know I'm going to re be released are King Kong versus Godzilla and The Suicide Squad. Those are the movies that I am really looking forward to. So thank you, Jason from Hawaii, for that question. And my browser stopped working. That's interesting. Oh, I need to go back. That's why I drilled into Dallo Spicer. He always asks good questions. I don't know if he listens to all these episodes to get an answer, but yeah, he asks good questions. He says, "You're a mood reader, right? Let's imagine there's a 6-part story you've started to read. Would you always finish the rest of the issues before moving on to something else? Or would you drop it mid-story if the mood left you for that character story?" Yeah, I would drop it and then come back to it at some point. That's just the way it is. Unless a comic like just keeps me in the mood. Lately, I've been into Deadpool. I've been going, reading that pretty regularly. Spawn and Savage Dragon have become like a go-to, so it's always there. But I change moods all the time, and because of Geek Brunch, I might cover like 3 issues, and I get into the story but don't finish it because I'm covering those for a podcast. And then I don't get through the next piece of the arc until like 6 months to a year later. So yeah, I switch all the time. Some of it's because of the way shows are, and I have a lot of flexibility with Geek Brunch Retro, so I could hit almost anything that's in the mood. Geek Brunch has turned into like an as kind of like new books that are coming out that we choose, that me and Bill kind of choose. So that one's a little, not as flexible. And For DC Spotlight, we always choose books. DC Everything Else is very flexible. I can pick one or two books, whatever, as long as it's DC, or anything that was derived from DC, like Charlton's Game, because the DC acquired Charlton, or like Quality Comics, they acquired Quality. They published Judge Dredd at one time, so we even threw in that you could do something from Rebellion. There's a lot of like weird rules with DC Everything Else. Plus, we have a Marvel special every now and then, but it still like has a lot of flexibility. So I hope that answers all your questions. I am going to proceed to remove these. Remove from bookmarks because I answered them. And I'll have to solicit for some more questions. Alrighty. So, having said that, we'll talk about some recent purchases that have come in. I ordered some expensive motherfucking comics from Kickstarter. I think I have all the Amanda Connor issues except for issue 2. For some reason, I didn't get issue 2, but I get the kind of like the nude variants that Amanda Connor draws for Pop Kill, and the latest Pop Kill was issue 3 and 4. And one of the covers features a lot of naked women riding pop soda cans, and the other one features two dominatrix looking women with two naked dudes with their boots on them. They're both signed by Amanda Connor as well. So that was quite expensive. They were $50 each for those, but they were exclusive and limited quantities. I recently got a Decisions comic book. These ones are interesting. They're like if you're in, you go into this is by Cosmic Times. It's kind of like a crossroads in life, like Twilight Zone type thing. It's like if you make one choice, you go one way. If you make another choice, you go another. And this is Decisions, a Minor Variation, number one. And I always get I love Zach Bassett's art. And he drew the interiors on this for one of the stories. And I bought the sketch cover, and he asked me for what character he wanted me to draw, and I asked for Jonah Hex. So if you follow me, you can probably find what that Jonah Hex cover looks like on Twitter and or Facebook if you are a friend of mine. I don't accept a lot of friends on Facebook. They have to be like real friends now. It was different in the past, and I've kept some friends that I talk to very infrequently, but I'm a little more guarded on Facebook. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, you either can follow me on DC Noise Podcast, and you could talk directly to me in a chat there, or Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episodes there. Another thing that came in from Evolution, they have a No Sleep imprint, but Palm 1 through 3. I didn't have Palm 1 and 2, and Palm 3 was a Kickstarter, and I joined it. And they had a package where you could get Armor 1 through 3. And I picked those up because those are issues I didn't have. And Delilah Blast. So those are Kickstarters. And then from eBay, I fell in love with the Shadowhawk, the new Shadowhawk by Kurt Busiek and John Fry, with inks by Andrew Peepoy, who's a good friend of mine. I love this series. It's so 90s and so action-packed and so many threads and There's a mystery of who's Shadowhawk, and I just love it. It goes back to my love for the image creators, even though this isn't by Valentino. He edited this, and he's the one that put the creative team together for this series. And I also wanted to get a first appearance of Deathlok, and I finally pulled the trigger, and I'm really glad I did. I am super happy with the condition that this book arrived in. He kind of graded it a fine, but it looks like a very fine to me. It really does. So I'm really pleased with it. It's Astonishing Tales number 25, the first appearance of Deathlok. And I still have a qu quite a ways to go on this series. I have 1 through 3, which is the Khazar Doctor Doom, but then on 25, it became a Deathlok series, and I don't have any of them but like 2 issues, and plus this first appearance. But it's the first appearance I've always wanted, so that came in. And then on Geek Brunch, we were talking about the new popularity of cards, and because I'm on a Savage Dragon kick, I found a very affordable, unopened box of Savage Dragon 90 card set. Which I'm looking forward to opening at some point in finding out which all the cards I have. And I'm going to put them in a binder with those protectors on it, just like I have all my other card sets, which are really is skyrocketed. If I get them graded, those Marvel ones, they're going for insane prices. But that won't stay the same. The world has just gone nuts right now with speculation. It is we're gonna hit the bubble pretty soon. I just know it. I was at the comic book shop today, and I couldn't believe how many people were in there trying to get the Pokemon cards because of their limited availability. And you know these guys are not playing Pokemon. They are looking to turn them or flip them, and that's why they're there. Because you could tell them they're on their phone and they're trying to talk Ed down, and it's insane. And then the other thing that's blowing up at the stores are, I guess there's these like pop can figure, like you know the pops, and they come with a can, like a can of soda, and they'll have like the Joker in it, and you'll get like a Joker figure in the pop can, and those are blowing up at the store. And then all of you know the comics, the weekly comics that are hot, they're going nuts. And I've been doing a lot of FOC covers lately through Ed. Like I have a third print of the Daredevil 25, 1 in 25 variant. I've been getting a lot of the variants for crossover. A lot of different stuff. Having said that, I think that wraps up most of the comic books that I've picked up, which isn't like a My Comic Shop order, but it is a lot. And then I get my regular stuff. DCBS has been behind because of that. Whatever happened to Texas and all the weather, I haven't gotten any comics except for DC. Matter of fact, I should check to see if my DCs are arriving. But I haven't gotten like all my Independents or Marvel from them in quite like 2 weeks so far. And I'm gonna go to them right now and see where they're at to see if they've shipped any or they've packaged any Marvel comics for me yet. And they have. They have a next shipment. And it has quite a bit of books in here. So I don't know if that's 2 weeks or 1 week, but it's quite the load here. I'll see if there's any other. Ooh, Ninjas and Robots number 3 and 4. 3, 4? Yeah. And I ordered three copies of cover 4. I love that comic. Yeah, this could be 2 weeks worth of books. And it looks like they've already put the DC stuff in there for next week. I wish the sheet would say like what the total is. But what came out this week? Wolverine did. I don't wonder if that's in here. Yep, it's in here, Wolverine 10. So I think they combined. Man, this is gonna be a big ass box. It's gonna be like 60 pounds. Shit, that's a lot of books, man. But I don't see any hardcovers, which is well, there's a Black Panther hardcover. Yeah, I don't see any collected editions, so that'll bring the weight down. One omnibus, and that would have killed the UPS or FedEx driver for sure. Yeah, and it does have Ice Cream Man, and I know that this came out this week. What was that one that everybody's talking about with the pets on it? I can't remember. That thing is like really well received by Tony Fleeks. Yeah, and Spawn just came out this week, 315. Ooh, the Spawn Compendium. Oh God, that's gonna be a heavy ass box. That's like 50 fucking issues of Spawn. Holy shit. Oh man, the Superman Batman Generations hardcover. This is gonna be a heavy ass box. Oh my God, this box is gonna be. It has an X-Men Omnibus Volume 4. Oh my God. This is gonna be 65 pounds at least. But you didn't want to know that. Yeah, this is insane. But that's what happens when they don't ship your books for 2 weeks because of weather. They only ship DC, so I got two really small shipments of just DC Comics. Next week's is gonna be a bitch. But let's get into the weekly comics. So let's talk about January 4th through January 10th of 2021. We had a total of 27 comics, one movie. We'll start with the movie. It was a 5 out of 5. This was a movie called Fat Man. And it was meant to be released around Christmas time. It's a Mel Gibson movie where he plays Kris Kringle, Santa Claus, and it's like a violent, die-hard version of Santa Claus, where this spoiled, rotten kid hires a guy called the Skinny Man to take out Santa Claus, and it turns crazy as fuck. And it's one of the most original movies I've seen in a long time. It's fucking batshit crazy. But I rated it a 5 out of 5, and it's called The Fat Man. I'd recommend it for your Christmas action movies. For you people that say Die Hard is the best Christmas movie, you might want to watch this because this is Christmas, more Christmas themed than Die Hard. And it's got a lot of action. It's got Santa Claus with guns. So, yeah, it's insane. But we had 27 comics. We have one Warrant, two Vault, three Valiant, seven Marvel, five Kickstarters, two Image, two Heavy Metal, and five DCs. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s, and I'll just refresh your memory. What a 3 out of 5 means to me is it means I like it. I use the Netflix ratings. A 1 out of 5 is I hated it. A 2 out of 5 is I didn't like it. A 3 out of 5 is I liked it. A 4 out of 5 is I really liked it. And a 5 out of 5 is I've absolutely love it. So I love the old Netflix ratings because there's no ambiguity between the number. It falls really well into those categories. But we'll start with the 3 out of 5s, and I rated this one low just because the story content wasn't great, but it's artistically a brilliant book. This is by Jim Rugg. It's called Octobriana 1976, and it's a Russian character, and there are other Octobriana comic books. And I think Octobriana went into the public domain and he decided to do his version of Octobriana. Octobriana and a scientist have to stop a bomb from being tested in Russia that would kill many people. And it's an artistic experiment with coloring like it used to be seen at Spencer's. It's like that neon fluorescent stuff that you'd go like to the back of Spencer's in the mall and you'd see like these glow in the dark covers, I forget what they called it, but it's like black light stuff. That's what Octobriana's every page turn is like looking at is going back to the 80s in the back of Spencer's and turning the page of everything that's going on in that dark area with that that's glowing in the dark. That's what every page seems like. It was artistically, like I said, really enjoyable, but not a lot of story content. But as far as an art experiment, it made me like it. But you know, I'm more of a story guy, so I gave it a 3 out of 5. From an art perspective, it's probably a 5 out of 5 because it just was an experimental thing, and it really worked. It really did. The next 3 out of 5 is probably a surprise for most of you that know I love Swamp Thing, but I gave Future State Swamp Thing number 1 a 3 out of 5, which is the lowest future state that I've given anything. But in the future, Swamp Thing and other plant-like creatures are looking for humans. You'll have the Floronic Man in there. You have a lot of some familiar faces that we've seen, and they're actually looking for humans. And humans are very rare in this particular world where Swamp Thing is. They find one that might be linked to Obsidian. So if you know Obsidian, he is a character that was created for the Infinity Incorporated back in the day. He is a gay man and he's got like dark shadow-like powers, and one of his best friends was Nuklon. And he was a member of the Justice League, like after, the big Demetaeus and them left. I think Gerald Jones, who I think went to jail, but Gerald Jones took over, and I think he brought Nuklon and Obsidian into the Justice League of America. Wonder Woman was, I think, the leader at that time, and it was a very like, I think there was a guy drawing it, like Chuck Wajowski or Wickajits, or it began with a W. And it was very unique and different. But he's been in the JSA, he's been in a lot of books, and he was in this one. But we don't know what the link is. But well, I'm sure we'll find out in issue 2, which is already out. The next 3 out of 5 is Jaina, the Jungle Queen. This was from Heroic Press, but I counted it as a Kickstarter because I got it as a Kickstarter. The hunter has risen and he is killing all animals to absorb their powers. So he is like a Kraven type character. He will kill the animal and then absorb their powers. A Lion King and lioness stop him at the cost of the lioness, who is now reincarnated as the Jungle Queen to stop the hunter. So he kills the lion's wife, the lioness, which were real lions, and that lion soul bonds with a female Jaina, which is now she's like sort of reincarnated to stop the hunter. We then have the last 3 out of 5, which is Darkwing. And this was the heavy metal. This is a heavy. This is actually appearing in the heavy metal scenes. It's artistically gorgeous to look at. The colors pop. The art is amazing. It's just confusing as hell. But It's a space group looking for resources or another planet to inhabit. And in the process of looking, they lose part of their group because of the navigation through an asteroid belt. But it's really hard to see where they're going with this, other than what I've just given you. The story focuses about a pilot that's, he's like piloting the sphere, which is like part of the ship. And then there's like these worker bees that like work stuff, and they asteroid hit part of the ship and killed a lot of people. And yeah, it's interesting. What they were doing, heavy metal, and I don't think they're gonna finish this, unfortunately, but they're printing these 299 magazines, which are pretty doggone amazing, price wise, for a full storied magazine. And they're deriving it from the already printed source material that's in heavy metal. So we'll see if they continue it. But my guess, based on sales, is and size. Like, I don't know if there's a lot of magazine people, yeah, I'm not sure how successful that'll be. I wish it was more successful, because the cost value of this is amazing. We then get into a Kickstarter, Sister Mercy. People that watch me on Twitter post a lot of my Kickstarters know that my fascination with nun warrior women. Well, this is another version of that, the Sister Mercy. In a post, this is Sister Mercy number two. It's a Kickstarter that I've continued to support. In a post-apocalyptic world, a nun talks to God, or is it really, does she talk to God? You don't know. You think she does, but maybe it's all in her mind. You don't know yet. But she has to fight a lot of the world's monstrosities. And then we have Le Fay. This is from Evolution. We just talked about them. Marcel Dupri. This is number three. This is probably one of my favorite Evolution titles, which focuses on like Morgan Le Fay in like modern times. I love the way she's drawn. I love the story. I love the characters that are supporting cast. It's very interesting. Le Fay takes the Elder God and gives it to Merlin, which may have been the wrong decision. Merlin originally hired Springheel Jack to get the Elder God, but now there was a war over the god. Merlin wants to bring the end of days, and now Le Fay might have to work with her enemies to stop him from killing the world, which is what Merlin seems to be doing. Really well drawn, really good story pace. The downside is Marcel Dupri does a lot of books. So, but by the time we get number four, it might be another year. So there's a big gap between books. But for those of you that might be interested in it, like when he prints out four, and let's say it's the conclusion, he usually has a level where you could get all the issues. So like if it's number four Kickstarter, there's usually a tier where you could get one, two, three, and four. And those are the nice ones to get. So you can have singles and just read them back to back to back. Another Kickstarter is Pray for the Sinner. This is another nun. It's a Kickstarter for Counterpoint Press, which is Marriott Michael's company. Marat Michaels, you might recognize from Youngblood and Deadpool, and being one of Rob Liefeld's best friends, and doing a lot of books for Extreme Studios back in the day. He does a comic book company called Counterpoint, and they usually go to Kickstarter, and it's really, really nice art and stories. It's a very sexy book. But this is where the future prison in space. I always like prisons in space. I wanted to do a comic book about a prison in space. And a breakout attempt. There's a psychiatrist on that prison in space, and she's raped and beaten, and then seeks revenge as the woman, sort of dressed like a nun. So she's the character that during a breakout in the satellite on space became kind of like a Kill Bill character where she's out for revenge now. So we had that. And then we get in a future state, Superman of Metropolis. And this is in order to save Metropolis from Andre's Trojan and Brain Cell, Jonathan, who's now Superman, Jonathan Kent, has to put Metropolis in a bottle like Kandor. And then Supergirl is being controlled by brain cells at one point and attacks John. And then the second story is Mr. Miracle, and the third story is the Guardian. And it's their perspectives as they're trapped inside of this bottle, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So those backups, not as tight. Artistically, they look great. Story-wise, not so great. Matter of fact, the Mr. Miracle story that's in the World at War Superman is much better, I think, the way it's done. Not sure the creative team's the same, but I like that Mr. Miracle a lot more. And Brain Cells is interesting because it's like this huge sphere, but it's like Brainiac in the future. It's pretty cool. I like the whole concept of it, that he bottles Metropolis into Kandor. That's pretty neat. I like the execution. The art was kind of cool. Then we then had Future State, The Flash. Number one, what I liked about this is the Barry, the new Flash, Max Mercury, and Jay lose their connection to the Speed Force, but they're still able to take out the Thinker, the Calculator, and they work with Checkmate with rogue weapons. So they actually have like the heat gun, the Captain Cold gun. It's crazy. And Barry is trying to capture Wally because Wally has the touch of death. And is the process of trying to save him. They lose Jay, Garrick. Wally is Death and kills the King Snake, Hangman, and one other. I forget what the one other was, but it's an interesting take. And it's they want to like get Wally to redeem himself, and I think that's what's going to lead into the future Flash series. We got Future State Harlequin. This one is real. Stephanie Phillips. She does a really good comic book. Jonathan Crane is working for the Magistrate. The Magistrate is like who runs Gotham at this time. And he uses Harley's psychiatrist abilities to capture Firefly and Professor Pig. Crane frees Harley to go after the Black Mask next. We got Spawn 240 and 241. This is Cog talks to. This is going back to read some issues that I bought on Comixology because I was missing them, and I want to get them, but they're not easy to get. So it's like I might have a $30 purchase here, a $20 purchase here, a $100 purchase here because some of his covers that we're mimicking or doing homages are really expensive in this range. But Cog talks to Jim, who's the Spawn at the time, about the symbiote and tries to convince him to go to his side. Cog has been around since like early Spawn issues. Jim turns to the Spawn and cuts Cog up. The next issue, Jim has an intervention with Mark, Sarah, and Susan. Sarah, if I remember correctly, Sarah's the girl that took care of Jim while he was in his coma. And Jim Downing goes all the way back to early Spawn as well. When he came out of this coma, he was Spawn when Al died, Al Simmons. Mark is sort of kind of his best friend that runs his religious. And Susan is sort of married to Mark, or it's his girlfriend anyway, but she's a demon. But we don't learn that here. He does not want to discuss his problems or where he has been. He mentions he's discovered some of his past, and he was married to Wanda. So that showing you is he's has some of Al Simmons's memories. Cog tries to figure out where the wings are coming from on this new Spawn. The owners have plans for the foundation. That is Jim's religious cult, if you will, as he's healed a lot of people, and that the foundation is the business that he's running, and Mark is running it for him. But they built the foundation on one of the dead zones, and the dead zones is kind of like this dark area that Spawn isn't like as effective. We then get into a magazine from Warrant. It's called Vampirous Camellia Number 1. This comes from the Creeps. We have the devil uses Dracula to resurrect Camellia to control the monsters in a castle by telling stories. And what there's like a Frankenstein monster, a mummy, Dracula, all kinds of different, it gives her backstory essentially. The devil brought her back. She was betrayed and bitten by Dracula. The swamp story, there's about two guys looking for a good fishing ground and run into a sexy woman on the swamp area who invites them into their house. She has two long pythons and a pig farm out back. She ends up turning the men into pigs to feed to her snakes. And that's where the pigs come from. She's wields some magic. She's sort of like a witchy woman of the swamp. The next one is about a prince that takes over for his father when he dies, and he wants to become richer and change out the harem of women that he inherited. So that's kind of weird. It's like, I took over for my father, and now the harem belongs to me, and he doesn't like that harem. So he decides to kill the harem by throwing him in the water and drowning him. Later, his followers turn on him and throw him into the water for him to die because he was a worse leader than the one before him. As a young boy, the next story is a young boy is haunted by a woman with an axe. The mother realizes that this is a strange horror story because the mother sides with the son. Usually, the parents don't believe the child that the house is haunted. Well, in this case, the mother says, "I believe you, son. The house is haunted. Let's get the fuck out of here." And later on in life, he's remembering what happened and talking to a psychiatrist. And this psychiatrist, jackass, says, "Well, you could become peaceful. Just go back to that house." Well, he goes back to the house and then ends up getting killed by the ghost and becoming part of the ghost family. So that psychiatrist fucked him. There's a woman that steals cloth from a mummy for a cosplay contest and actually becomes part of the undead. She wants to beat her competitors, but when she stole it from the museum from an existing what do they call it? Sarcophagus, or she takes the wrapping from it, and she becomes like the living dead. And then there's a woman on a planet saves a man who crashes there, and they're gonna use him for breeding. Well, one woman on the planet saves him and takes her to a planet, and he takes her to a planet of men where she'll be used for breeding. So it kind of turns it around. There's a story about a house designer that is hired by a vampire, and then she turns the tables and creates a room for him where he dies by sunlight, because they were going to keep her hostage, and they had her husband as hostage as well, which is very interesting. It was the father was a vampire, and the daughter was not a vampire, but she would protect her father and. They hired this woman to build out the house to make it bigger, and it was a house that they could never leave. The next one is Elvira's House of Mystery Number 2. There's a samurai extravaganza, as the first story is about a samurai seeking redemption for his past, only to find he is killed by someone else seeking power, and then inherits his curse to do good, only to think he has done his last good deed, but it turns out that his last good deed is to kill himself. So that was an interesting story. It was about a guy who became a samurai and was seeking redemption, and he did good all his life, And then he runs into a robber who steals it, the sword, and then kills him. And then he takes the role of that role to become good, and then it turns on him. The second story is about a samurai who's always seeking to be great in great battles, but finds once he is in one, he is terrified, and he runs away. He goes down and realizes he has what he's done, and tries to do the heroic thing by stopping a sort of like a rape, but only to find that death catches up to him. We then have from Vault Bleed Them Dry, number 3. This is like a vampire ninja story. It's a vampire cop sets a trap for the ninja vampire killer and kills him. The woman cop was turned, who was turned into a vampire, that was helping the ninja vampire, was helping the ninja, barely escapes the trap and has to turn to one of her friends. We then have Savage Circus from Heavy Metal. The heavy met the Savage Circus is coming to town with some very strange animals. The Savage Circus is kind of based on animal anomalies that they found all across the world. And while this train is coming into town, there's a town hijacking of a weird, like, deposit thing in the middle of a park where people could donate money to the mayor to help do improvements, and it's about to hit $1 million. Well, it's around Christmas, and several criminals plan on stealing this statue that houses the money. It's such a weird concept, but in the process of doing it, the train that contains these animals are violently released upon the town, and we're seeing this through the eyes of a deputy who doesn't even really want to be a deputy, but he became a deputy because his father died, and he sort of inherited the role. We then get the last 4 out of 5, which is Rye, current series number 2 and 4, 2 through 4. Really well executed. I barely missed getting a 5 out of 5. But Rai and Raijin visit this strange house looking for remnants of father and run into an AI called Loki, and it's spelled LOCI, that wants them to stay in the house but permanently. It's like this AI wants to absorb them and have them become part of the house. And Rai and Raijin escape to destroy the AI. Red King soldiers arrive at the home just a little too late and reactivate Lokai after we think she's destroyed. And then Lula tries to contact Rai in the process and shuts him down during a dinosaur stampede. Razor finds Raijin, and Rai is rebooted just in time to save him. Rai and Raijin go to a Hope Springs, which is a farming town, and they demand a scan the machinery for fragments of father. That's what they're trying to do, is find all these fragments of father and destroy him, because when Japan came down, some fragments remain and they don't want the fragments to reunite. Eternal Warrior and the Geomancer are there, and they attempt to stop Rai. Fight breaks out, and then they are invaded by Red King and the soldiers, which disrupts the fight. This is a story that goes back to what Dallo Spicer asked. I really like this one, and I would have finished it, but it required me to get the rest of the story at the storage unit, and I was too lazy to drive to the storage unit to get it, so I kind of have to get back to it at some point. We then get into a book from Vault. This is the Free Comic Book Day from Vault that was released directly as a hardcover. I didn't buy the hardcover, but I do want to seek it out if it comes out. But it is a fantasy ruled by a demon. On Earth, there is a young adult who has a rich lawyer mom who allowed him to get his own place if he sees a psychiatrist. He sees a dead girl and talks to her, and it might be his sister. He sees the upcoming apocalypse in his dreams. but does not tell anyone. He does not know that his mom works for the law firm, who the boss is the link to the dark world. It was an amazing issue, and an amazing comic book for Free Comic Book Day. And I think I need to find out if this was ever published. I know I did some research, and I don't think it ever was. So I think it's still TBD to come out. We then get to the next 5 out of 5, which was Star Wars Vader Down. I read the entire thing. Star Wars Vader Down number 1, Darth Vader 13 through 15. Star Wars 13 through 15. Dr. Aphra gives Vader the location of Luke, and he goes after him. There is a rebel base on a planet, so Vader single-handedly takes out squadrons of X-Wings before Luke crashes his X-Wing into Vader and brings his TIE fighter down. On the planet, the Rebellion is doing everything to try to kill Vader, but they've had no luck. Dr. Aphra and the murder droids go to the planet to try to rescue Vader and capture Luke in the process. The Wookiee bounty hunter is after Luke as well, and they have to fight him off. Commander Carbin is sort of like a Vader knockoff, but he's like a Admiral Ackbar-looking character. He comes down with troopers to capture Luke, but gets into a fight with Vader, and Vader kills him. Luke, Han, Leia, and others get away, and they captured Aphra. The murder droids save Luke, really, because they stopped Carbon soldiers from taking him. Vader is now sent on a mission to protect a princess and her planet because of the resources on it. So it was a really good action-packed crossover, which contained a one-shot, 3 issues of Vader and 3 issues of Star Wars. It was really cool. So I had every intent to do another set of books, but man, I am getting tired. So I think I'm going to stop there and just note stopped here, and then I'll continue next time with the books from January 11th through January 17th, and I'm going to go read some comics. But thank you for listening. This has been Mike M's Weekly Reads for January 4th through the 10th of 2021, and I stopped a little early because, let's see what marker I'm at. I'm already at the 1 hour mark, and I'm just tired. I don't know why I'm like sluggish today. I was supposed to have a physical this week, and we got 8 inches of snow. So I took the day off for 2 reasons: the snow, plus I had the physical. And at 6:30 a.m., I got a text from the doctor's office saying that they canceled my physical. Everyone that had an appointment before 11 a.m. Was canceled. So I had to reschedule a physical. But not a big deal. Physicals just mean 12 hours of fast. It's not as evasive as a colonoscopy or anything like that. If I was going for a colonoscopy and they canceled, I would be pissed, because there is a lot of prep for a colonoscopy, and a lot of it means not eating for like up to, I don't know, it could be like 15 to 20 hours. You can have some Jell-O and clear fluids, but it's not much that day before, and then like the 2 days prior, you're eating like chicken broth and chicken and rice, and but you can't have like sauces and stuff, so it's a very bland diet. So if that was canceled, I would have went Coco, and like George when he was going Coco in Seinfeld, I would have went nuts. But You've been listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can reach me. The best place is on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. That's the best place. The next best place is send me an email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Let me know what comics you're reading, or if you have any questions you want covered on the next episode. I will save them in an email or in a Twitter if you want to send it to at Mike Myers Brunch. You can find this podcast at Geek Brunch Podcast. You can leave comments at the website, or you can go to Facebook, click Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button, follow all the episode threads there. There through IM or through the comments, you can contact me on Facebook. I think that wraps it up. Other than another place to get a hold of me is on DCNoisePodcast.com, which hosts the DC Everything Else and DC Spotlight. So if you're interested in hearing me talk about DC-focused stuff, you can go to DCNoisePodcast.com. I want to thank you all for joining me. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you here back for another episode in probably a week. Take care, and peace out. And I gotta just hit the stop button.